name. We invoke you. We invite you. We want you, Lord. We want all of you. We want everything that you have to offer us, Lord. God, help us in the areas of our heart where we have not yet been able to perceive of your goodness, of your love, of your kindness, Lord. Help us in the areas of our relationships where there's still something that's broken, something that isn't working the way that we know it's supposed to be working. And Father, teach us grace. We need grace. We need to understand how to access grace in the moment, how to live life the way that you designed it to be without feeling the burden of it. Because Lord, we thank you that it's not really our burden to figure it out. It's your burden. And so teach us how to walk in that. Teach us who you are, God. Teach us your heart. Teach us your character. Teach us who we are in you, Lord. Teach us our identity. Teach us how to live a life that was created by you because you authored it ahead of time. And we just submit this time to you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on in, everyone, and find a seat to the best that you can here. We're, as I said to you before, I'll say it, we're going to be moving down the hall in a couple weeks. So we're nice and cozy here right now, but we're going to be spreading out. Hello there. We're going to be spreading out a little bit. So I just had a sneaking suspicion we were going to fill up here at the end. We start these things out and it's like two people are here and you're like, okay. But welcome everyone on a Tuesday morning. Welcome. I am so excited that you're here. Welcome webinar two. And what I want to do in this class is I want to frame this for you. I don't know about anyone else. Are there any recovering control freaks in the house? You don't have to name yourself. Okay. I will take up the so one of the things I still like that has not changed in my life is I still like to see the full picture. Can anyone relate to that? I still like the oversight when I'm going into something. And because I think that way, guess what? I'm going to share that same mentality with you. I do want to point out a few people in this room that are going to be your point of contact people. We will be, after this week, splitting up into small groups so that you'll be able to talk and communicate with each other in a way where you can kind of get to know each other, okay? And like I said, we'll be kind of cramped here for a couple weeks, and then we'll be moving down the hall, okay? One is Justin right here. He is our group leader for men, and Dan he's hanging out with us too. He's one of our counselors here at New Life. So guys, you are not alone. You are not alone, okay? You're a little outnumbered, but you're not alone. And then we have a couple group leaders out there right now, and I'm going to introduce them in a minute. Kelly and Jesse. Jesse, you didn't just hear that. Just sweet Jesse. Forgot your name, darling. Okay. Jessie's a new mom. So she's having a new mom. You know, I remember those days having to leave them at home. And anyway, and then Stacy, you're going to meet Stacy as well. Those of you on webinar, you're primarily going to be working with me and Stacy. Okay. So what we'll do after this week is we'll break into small groups and then you'll be meeting with the same people every week. And that's really what builds community. And I'm adamant about the fact that we need to learn how to walk this thing out in a healthy style of community. That the whole concept of isolation is really not healthy at all when we're trying to overcome some of these areas. So by being in a small community like that, we feel like we're seen. We feel that we can be real. We kind of get down and dirty in here. I don't know how else to say it, but this isn't a place where we come here and go, yeah, I got it all together. This is a place where we're just kind of allowed to just let it loose. And that's one of the things we'll be talking about. You have permission. You have official permission here just to let it loose. I want to say let it go, but I'm afraid it will come out in a song format because I've heard that song so many times. I might actually start singing to you, okay? But that, you know, that movie, that movie's very applicable to what we do in here, yeah. Anyway, if you don't know, if you've never watched Frozen, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the Disney movie Frozen, the Let It Go, and I can't even say it. So, one thing I learned, and I'm going to share a little bit, like I said, and frame this, but one thing I've learned is that we can have joy in suffering. Enjoy, you know, sorrow comes in the evening, but joy comes in the morning. This is not a process to just kind of beat us over and just, it's so terrible and awful. God is a redeemer. I mean, he redeems, he restores, he injects hope, he offers himself as the remedy. And so as we're going to do this process, one of the things that's going to happen is you're going to get a little bit uncomfortable at times. Is anyone ready for that? You're going to get a little bit uncomfortable. And I just want to assure you that discomfort is a sign that something's happening, that God needs to happen in your life. In fact, the comforts oftentimes that we have in our life, which bring us to the point of even kind of being in the group and trying to understand what's going wrong in our life, is because of some of those false securities. God is not harsh. He is not. You might have a perception that he is. He's a gentle God, but he's, you know what? He's fierce. He's fierce. And what do I mean by that? I mean, he has this holy longing for us, that we come to him fully and that we be in a relationship with him that's real, stripped down to the core, and that he will move heaven and earth on our behalf to get us there. But there is an even more important part, and that you'd say, well, God's the most important part. And just think about this for a minute. God is the most important part. But if God is the most important part, and if God is all that's necessary to change, to heal, to be restored, to make life work, why are we living in a world that has so much suffering and so much brokenness? And why is it that we can't access that and live that out? Did you ever wonder that? Are you one of those people that contemplates things like that morning, noon, and night? Okay. Why doesn't it happen? Because there's sometimes a very big disconnect between what we know as truth and what we experience as truth. And if I could just really summarize what we're going to do, we're going to try to bridge the gap between that disconnect, where our theology isn't in our head, but our theology becomes a living reality, where God is tangible, where Jesus is a real person, where he engages. And he's like this, you're going to think I'm crazy. I am a little crazy, and it's okay if you think it. But we're going to think of him like kind of like a soldier in some, but he's like a loving soldier. And he arms us and he equips us with battle. And I know you all are familiar, like with the, you know, Ephesians 6, with the armor of God. And am I talking about the, yeah, I am. But you know what? We're going to take it to a much more intimate level, where he equips us with actual strategies that can go into the very places where we've been hurt, go into the very places where the lie has been planted, and that he can go there, and he has tools, he has methods, he has like a formula. You know, any math people in here, he actually has a formula to take those places of broken life back into them. Why doesn't it happen in people's lives? You know what, if I hope this doesn't sound too much of a presumptuous judgment on my part. You know why I think that? Why? Because I think that most people don't know him. They don't know him. And one of our biggest objectives in this workshop process is that you would know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, so that you can be conformed into his image. Okay. Now, I would suffice it to say that almost everyone in this room has theology and has an understanding of the Word of God to an extent, and that's why you're here. Because I don't know too many people that would want to come in here if they weren't interested in learning about Jesus, because you'd be like, oh, you know, this is a start, you know, all kinds of reactions can happen. So I know that most people here are already there. They're already interested. They already want to engage. But what I'm going to challenge you with, and it's an area that I had a challenge in my own life, is how well do you know him, and how much activation has he been given in your life? Okay. We are going to actually look to break barriers down. We're going to look to find root causes. We're going to look to find those lies. We're going to look to find the areas in your life that aren't working, because there's actually an actual reason they're not working. And then eventually we're going to learn the B word, which most people want to know right away. You know what the B word is? The B word is boundaries. Everyone's like, when are we going to learn about boundaries? We're not going to learn about boundaries till chapter 11. Is that mean of me or what? Anyway, you know, one thing that I really love to hear and have people like come back and volunteer and be group leaders is because sometimes their stories touch a little bit closer than mine. I'm going to be sharing a lot about my testimony. what I don't want to be to you is irrelevant, where you see me as a teacher up here. We tend to do that in this society. Did you ever notice that? We tend to kind of stick people in different categories, and then they're like, well, she's so spiritual. I can't be like that. Or we tend to just kind of compartmentalize and categorize people. And, you know, I'm not that far away probably as from you as you might think. The journey has been, it has been a journey. But am I in, living in, we call it the storm, if those of you that were here at our last workshop on families and in recovery, we called it the storm site, the place where we're just like aware that everything looks kind of wrecked. You know, it kind of looks wrecked in our life. And if anyone's sitting at a storm site right now, the pain of that is very fresh and very vivid and very real. And I'm not here to minimize that or just praise the Lord. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. You know, he loves you and let's just move on with life. Did you ever get that, you know, that hurrah kind of thing? And you're like, okay, how do I actually get that? I'm not here to do that. At the same time, I want to inject hope. I want you to understand that I'm not a puppet, that my words are not just something that I can just, that a human can just kind of generate and just sound like they know what they're talking about. My experience was very broken, very, 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 very broken. But before I go into that, I just want to see if anyone else in here that has been here before feels like sharing. Not you guys. You guys, they're looking at me like, you're asking me to share? No, I'm talking about my group leaders. Do any of you guys want to share? Do any of you guys feel led to share? I totally gave them an open option to share or not share because they're going to be sharing with you a lot, okay, in your groups. Does anyone want to come back up? No? Okay. Sure. Come on up. Here she comes. Now you might hear a little bit of noise here. We're going to switch mics. Okay. You might want to hold it on.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure that you're on the green there.
I totally look cool.
You do look cool in it. Okay. Yeah, you're good.
Well, I don't.
Okay. Hi, guys. Yeah. Well, I don't have much to say. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Jessie, and God totally sent me here for a reason. I was an addict, and after I got clean, I was married to an addict. And so I didn't have boundaries. I didn't know how much God loved me. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who God was. And life was hell. It really was. It was a lot of brokenness and just surviving. And so God totally brought me here through a set of awesome circumstances, and he's just changed me. And this book, you know, it's a lot of information, and I pore over it, and I love it, but mostly it's just living and just knowing God that's changed me. And it's so awesome to have Stephanie close to me to talk to. And anyway, yeah, that's all I had to say.
She was the one that was like, no, I'm not talking. Okay. If you had an issue with parking, you can try that lot across the street. Sorry, webinar, this is totally irrelevant to you, but just bear with us. I heard that this lot was full. Okay. Wow, that's craziness. So if you park in the reserved, you will get towed. So don't park in the reserve, okay? And another suggestion would be the lot. Was the lot next door full too? Right over there, the whole thing was full. Oh, okay, yeah. You can park right across the street. And I just want to say that because I want to make sure nobody gets towed, okay? Yeah, they will tow in the reserve spot. Sorry. I hate to make you have to do that. Okay, so I want you to understand that when we begin to have this dialogue, we are not just here to be problem-oriented. We are not just here to sit around and just talk about all the negative and just how bad things were, although you might have experienced a lot of negative, and we are here to validate that, okay? But we are here to inject solution. Listen, y'all, God is a redeemer. I don't know how much we've heard that in our church experience. We've heard it over and over. But let me just say it again. God is a redeemer. God is a healer. And I'm not just, I know we hear this. And just so you know my background, I'm a PK. Who knows what a PK is? Preacher's kid. Okay, I sat in the pew every Sunday. I heard it. It was all kind of the same jargon over and over and over and over again. It didn't have any meaning. It didn't have any significance. I know what it's like to hear things and to not have them activated in a real way. When God finally got through to me, when I finally encountered him in an authentic way, what took place through that experience is really what compels me to do this ministry. It's not just to speak truth. It's not to just give you a formula or a process or read a workbook or take a class. It's that the God of the Bible actually does redeem. And he's real, and his power is real. And who we are in him is available, and it's tangible. And let me tell you what, who he made you to be is good. It's good. And I can guarantee that. There's not even a question mark that I have to put. So in my position here, all I'm here to do is kind of facilitate a little bit of a dialogue that will help you come into touch with that. But I mentioned it before, I'm going to say it again. If God is so great and God is so big, why doesn't it look like that within our own experiences and within our churches and within all the things around us that we see is wrong? And I want to suggest to you that the greatest, most important thing that can happen in this process is, yes, acknowledging who Jesus is, and I don't think we know him, but is also exercising your free gift of choice. Do you know how important your gift of choice is? It's everything. Here's the dilemma, and here's the problem. Codependence, I was asking on Facebook, if you're not on Facebook and want to log in, we'd love to hear from you. I was asking people how they would define codependency, and I was getting all kinds of interesting answers, and they were all true and they were all real. But if I were to boil it down, if you were to ask me, what does it really mean to be codependent? I would say a codependent has lost the ability to make choices. Someone or something else dictates how they think, how they feel, and how they respond to life. And let me tell you what, anyone else in that position, other than the Holy Spirit, other than Jesus, anyone else in that position, and life is foundationally broken, it will not work. People have a lot of misconceptions about what living life aligned to the Creator looks like. I don't know if any of you were like, you know, you had to run around and thou art holy and God. And, you know, I mean, I tried all that stuff. I remember when I first became a real Christian, where I really gave my life to Jesus, I seriously thought that the things that mattered the most were like, you know, taking away the worldly looking clothes and wearing long skirts. And, you know, I mean, I like went crazy. I was like trying to be, you know, the good Christian. Is that what God's after? Is that what relationship with Jesus is after? Relationship with Jesus is alignment. That's what it is. It's alignment. And the thing about alignment means that we come back into the purpose that he created us to be in. And your purpose and my purpose don't look the same. That's why it's so personal. And your past and my past don't look the same. That's why it's so personal. And what you need to overcome, in what I had to overcome, we might have similarities, but you're going to have unique situations and unique issues, okay? My goal in teaching is I only want to teach to the extent that I have to, just to get out a key principle. So when we're getting together in this classroom, I just want to kind of just launch off your discussions, because I really believe that it's in your time alone, in your time of processing, and in group discussion where the majority of the change will happen. I can articulate some truths to you, but as long as they're my truths and as long as you just hear me talking, you're going to say, well, that's great for her. That's great for her. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And then we can just all sit around and talk about Stephanie's testimony. That's not why we're here. We're here to talk about you and your story and what God wants to do in your life. And everything else, we might need to find her a chair. Everything else is going to be secondary. Those of you joining us for the first time, we are only going to be in here for 6 weeks. Can you guys handle it 6 more weeks? And then we're moving down the hall. Do you see the construction going on down there? We're moving down there. Okay, not New Life, for those of you that are affiliated with New Life, just our ministry is. So hang in there. So I am not here, therefore, to give you a label in this class. In fact, I get emails all the time. You know, my counselor told me I'm codependent. You know, I'm codependent. I read a book. I'm codependent. I'm codependent. I'm codependent. I'm codependent. I'm codependent. You know what? Newsflash. We all are. We all are. Every single person in the universe is codependent. And so even though we have that in the title and that's what we foundationally do here, I'm not here to give you a label today. Just to give you a little bit of a background and a his and just to kind of give you a framework of why we do these workshops, we started New Life Spirit Recovery. My husband and I did. Actually, my husband, I came into the picture after he had already started it about 10 years ago. And we work in a drug alcohol rehab. We work in a very intense mode of people that are really, I mean, they're in life and death situations. We like to call it a spiritual hospital. That's really what we see ourselves. And in that, we've been able to engage with families and things of that nature. But there is a dramatic need at the community level to understand some of the core principles. And so we were asked a lot, you know, could you do a class on that? Could you do something where we could just come and sit and listen? And we couldn't combine it with our addiction program because there's confidentiality laws in place. So we began our first workshop about 5 years ago. And I was reluctant, and I honestly didn't think anyone was going to show up. And I thought, well, okay, we'll give it a try. You know, it doesn't hurt to try. And that pretty much just began the whole thing. It's been pretty much going nonstop in those 5 years. I'm not sure, quite honestly, how many workshops we've done, but there's only really one motivation in doing them, and that is to be able to conquer that whole idea of something or someone else is taking over my free will, and to bring that in alignment with God's will. I don't have the ability to do that for you guys. I just want to make my role clear. I cannot do that for anyone in this room. I could teach and teach and teach. Did you ever go and you hear an awesome message, you go to a conference and you're all hyped up? That message has no power until it somehow gets injected into your experience and becomes real to you and it becomes tangible. So I just want you to understand that if we're going to kind of get down, get real, and let this process work, it's going to disrupt you. And if it doesn't disrupt you, then I would suffice it to say it's not working. Is that terrible? And I don't mean that to sound terrible. It should disrupt your life to a point. What will disruption feel like? Well, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You ever hear, it won't be that bad. I don't know. Your disruption will be in correlation to where you are in life and where God needs to bring you. It's all about what your current circumstances look like versus how he wants to move you into your future. My disruption was quite intense. It was a holy moment in my life where God just caught my attention and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Okay. Did you ever wonder what God would think about codependency? Because I get asked that a lot. And the reason I get asked that a lot is because I work in all different types of denominational belief systems. I am, in the truest sense of the word, non-denominational. Okay. And I mean, and you could say, well, you know, you probably have something. I probably do, you know, whatever that would be. Sorry if I'm making you loud in their webinar. But, you know, there are people that would be like, you know, where's codependency in the Bible? The Bible doesn't say anything about codependency. You know what I'm talking about, right? And the Bible does talk about codependency, okay? And we're gonna talk a little bit about that. One of my favorite ones is in Song of Solomon. I think this little piece of scripture sometimes doesn't get the attention it deserves. But Song of Solomon, it said, don't stare at me because I am dark. The sun has darkened my skin. My brothers were angry with me. They forced me to care for their vineyard, so I couldn't care for myself, my own vineyard. Wow. I'm actually not talking about the introduction principles that we're going to be covering next week on purpose. I want you to understand the heart, the essence of what we're after in this process. And you jump in and you say, I'm in, okay? Because your being in isn't me telling you need to be in. Your being in is that you've articulated that with the Lord, and you and the Lord have said, yeah, let's do this, okay? Because I'm only here to kind of navigate some of the waters. It's you and him working together. I want to make that clear. Okay. And I love it. You know what I love about my job more than anything else in the world? I get to witness the love that he has for people. I remember when I first learned how he loved me. Now I get to actually feel it. You might think that that sounds wacky. It's okay. Maybe it is wacky, but I actually feel his pursuit on people's lives. And that is, I could start sobbing. I'm going to try not to. It makes me want to drop to the ground and sob and just praise him. Because you know what? In the beginning, I was holding on for dear life, y'all. I'm going to talk a lot about my testimony, so I'm probably not going to formalize it to you right now. I was holding on for dear life. If God didn't show up, I was going to go down. I was going to go down. If he wasn't really God, it was it. I was ready to go. I couldn't stand life anymore. Okay. What I needed in that moment, I'm going to speak to some of you right now that are really in a role of having to care for other people. And it's okay to care for other people. But in that moment, you know what I needed? To ever go into the airplane and they tell you to get the oxygen on first before you help other people. I needed the oxygen on. I needed it. I needed it, or I was high. I needed it. What we're going to start is not a selfish process. It's not. It's not selfish to need God's love. It's not selfish to recognize that you are in desperate need of a resource that only he can provide. And to say, you know what, for this season, I can't run and put the masks on everybody else because I need to get my own mask on. But let me just tell you the other side. The other side is I'm not operating out of codependency. I mean, granted, I still got some residue, I'm sure, maybe a little here and there. But I'm not foundationally operating out of it anymore. So I have the privilege and the honor of being able to minister to other people, knowing that it's God's heart that's interacting with them. Knowing that. No question about it. Because if I was carrying it on my own, I couldn't handle it. Why do I tell you that? Because I want to give you hope. I want you to understand this is just a season. This is just a season of putting the mask on and of resolving the fact that there might be things in your life, resources that you need that you haven't yet attained from him. And that once you get those resources, he is going to send you out. He is going to use you. He is going to teach you how to love. He is going to do all those things. But the necessity in your life first is going to be to learn to receive. Oh, man. Woo! Song of Solomon 1:6. She was programmed to learn how to care for the needs of other people and to not care for herself. Until she got rescued by this really amazing man, who I'd like to say is really a picture of our Jesus. Okay, go ahead and read Song of Solomon. I know it's like seems a little scandalous, but it's not. It's just God, you know, revealing himself. King David, y'all, was super codependent. Did you know that? I mean, like, big time. How about King Solomon? He had some issues too. Samson. He let a woman, and I just want to point to these things. How does that happen when they're codependent? What does that look like? Something or someone else dictated how they would think, feel, and make choices in a given situation. What happened to Samson? He gave up his power for a woman. Guys, girls, all of us. Peter, people-pleasing, fear of man. Cause him to betray his Lord. We've heard these over and over again, haven't we? How about Abraham? Oh, man. I mean, you talk about dysfunction. Try to, like, give his wife away because he was afraid they were going to attack. I mean, that's, like, pretty significant. You know what? We end up compartmentalizing these people. Like, they're just these holy creatures, like these museums of righteousness and stature, and they're so far from our experience. They're dysfunctional. Super dysfunctional people. They were codependent people, as we call it, as what we're going to call in a modern day society. We're just modernizing some of these issues. I don't mean changing them. I mean modernizing them into language that's relatable that we can understand. But you know what? It was there already. Make sense, you guys? So what am I after knowing that I can't actually direct and mandate any of that in your life? I want you to understand the very nature of oppression and bondage. In a drug and alcohol rehab program, we all know what happens when a person is under the influence of drugs and alcohol. And we have a lot of people that come through this group that have been on both sides of addiction. That's very, very common. Do you know that every single drug addict, every single alcoholic addict in our program has a, almost all of them have a primary codependency route? I mean, some of them, we're going to talk about that next week. I'll talk to you a little bit about the difference between the core addict and the core codependency, but they all can relate to the codependency side. Nobody's extinct from it. You know why? Because codependence, we're going to talk about this next week, but I want you to understand that, you know, the foundational route to codependency happened in the garden. It happened in the garden. And when God created us to be in relationship, first of all, he made Eve because he saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone. So the very concept of a relationship is something that God designed ahead of time. It's a good thing. It's a needful thing. It's a requirement. But the reason that relationship worked is because it was in alignment, right? And they had their air masks on. They weren't actually in any kind of crisis, right, where they would need them. But they had their oxygen supply. They had their love supply. They had their Holy Spirit supply. They had everything they needed. And their relationships were give-based. It was two people, because they were satisfied and nurtured by the resources of God, they could give out to each other. And then the fall happened. And everything turned upside down. Everything turned upside down. Everything turned upside down. I know, if you're like me, I heard it over and over again, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, and even Jesus died on the cross to save me from, I mean, you can hear this stuff and you just are like, I heard it a million times. I want you to understand that, to ask the Holy Spirit to just give you an understanding in your heart of what that meant. Because it meant that the foundational purpose of the human race was lost in that moment. And instead of two people being able to mutually give, they're entered into this vacuum, this hole in the heart that sought something from the outside to satisfy the inside. You know what that did to human relationships? It flipped their purpose inside out. And so now, instead of working on the outflow, we're operating out of a vacuum. And I would suffice it to say that that pretty much defines, that's definitive of the human race right now, wouldn't you say? Every person, and we all know what our own hole felt like. The problem is that nothing can fill it. And when you have the vacuum mode in your life, whatever you attach onto to fill it will turn into immediate bondage. Immediate bondage. It's like, it's almost like it's a magnet. And once you tech, it just comes onto you. And you can try to pull it off, but until the flow gets put the right way, you can't break it off. Am I saying that to scare you? I don't want to scare. God doesn't operate by fear, but there is a reverence reality of how he designed things to be versus how they get broken. We use the word brokenness a lot. If you can just get comfortable with the idea that we're broken, that's a really good starting point. I think one of the disasters happens is when we're like, I'm not really broken. And we keep going into church and trying to get refurbished and refurbished and refurbished. And like, I got, you know, these things going, I got these things going. And God's like, but you know what? The foundational purpose in your life got broken and I need to fix it and I need to get it realigned. How can you be doing something when it's broken? Okay. My vacuum cleaner, if it's broken, it doesn't, no, that's kind of a bad example because we don't want to be vacuum cleaners, but you know what I'm saying? It's plugged. It's not working. It's broken. It's lost its purpose. Okay. If we can just get to that point right there, if we all individually can allow God to access anything that has taken that away, I'm telling you, you're going to walk out a different person. I'm not into microwave Christianity, you know, let's just go hoop it all on, because change takes a long time. You know, and we'll just come out and we'll be like, yeah, I'm fixed, I'm transformed. You know what? God works in our life. Sometimes he will zap us. I got zapped. I had a Holy Spirit encounter, whatever you want to call it. I mean, people have different denominational beliefs. I don't know what to call it, to tell you the truth. I don't even want to stick a theology on it because it sticks me into a whole theological system that I don't necessarily want to align with. But I had an encounter with Lord. I had an encounter with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and it changed me forever. And if you can, if you need that and God can give it to you, I say, bring it on. That was a moment in my life. And we're going to talk about that. Sometimes you're going to need a moment. But we're going to be also be talking about something that's process oriented. Okay. And if you can just sit back and be comfortable with the fact you're going to be uncomfortable, is that even possible? I wonder. Can you be comfortable with being uncomfortable? I don't know. We'll have to think of it. We'll have to ponder on that for a while. And comfortable with the fact that you're not whole yet, but God wants to make you whole. That and you just show up and you just let him do it. I guarantee you he's going to do something. Why? He has to. Because if he doesn't, and if those are that's the circumstance, if he doesn't show up, he's not God. He's not remaining true to his character. And he has to be. Listen, if he's my God, he has to be your God too, if you've let him be your God. Okay? What he's done for me, for Justin, for anyone in this room, if he can't do it for all of us, then what, he just picks a couple? No, I don't think so. There's no biblical justification for that. He's after each of us in here. He's calling each of us. And you know what? He's calling us each differently. The uniqueness of the hand of God is that he can align us to some principles like that we call recovery. And believe me, in writing books and writing materials, I feel led to do that. But let me tell you what, you just go ahead and let your God be your God. I mean, I don't mean to create your own version of him, because that's kind of what we're trying to not do. But what I mean is let him be unique. Let him put his fingerprint on you. You're not cookie cutter. You're not here to fit a certain mold. You don't have to be exactly this or exactly that. It doesn't have to look exactly this or exactly that. You don't have to be on answer chapter 2, question 1, exactly the way that you're supposed to answer it. Because that's not how God works. Okay, so I just want to give you some grace to go ahead and let him come and maneuver whatever he needs to maneuver. Do we even talk about oppression? Do you guys know what oppression is? Let me talk to you about it for a minute. In the Bible, we saw literal forms of oppression and bondage. So the biggest form is maybe, oh no, that is, the door is closed. Wow, we have a lot of weird noises in here, webinar, which you don't relate to. Someone pointed that out to me. They're like, you'll be teaching on a rampage and all of a sudden you'll be like, can you turn the air conditioning on? But you know what? It's just the way it is. We're living in a real room here and we got real issues and we got real garbage cans, garbage trucks going off on the side. So bear with us. You can't hear it, webinar, because you have this advantage of my little ear mic, but we have all kinds of weird stuff going on around us, don't we? All right. Anyway, getting back to oppression. Oppression was in the physical sense. A nation was taken over. They were held captive. They were turned into slaves. What did that mean? They had no rights. They had no freedom. They could not make choices. They were mandated what to do with their time. They were mandated who they could worship. They were mandated how they could think. They were mandated how they had to respond to life. Seem far-fetched, doesn't it? Not so much. Not so much. Some of you have homes. Some of you grew up in homes that really were of that caliber. They were places of oppression. They were places of being forced, of being told something was and it wasn't, of being told how to feel, but that wasn't the feeling, of being told you couldn't express, but you know what, you needed to express. Of being told that you didn't have the right to make choices, but you know what? You were supposed to have the right to make choices because God created you to be free. And I'm not going to come in here and just put some little magic wand on that and say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, yes, it is. It is your Egypt. It is a big deal. But the question that I have is, do you think that the God that parted the waters in a supernatural way to take his kids out of that and into freedom. And I love the story of the Israelites. I think that if I had to rewrite this in just Bible format, just because people can't receive recovery, that's probably the story I would use, okay? Because he brought them out, and then they like freaked out. They didn't know how to live free. They didn't know how to live free. But the point is, he did bring them out. I just have to ask you and confront you with where your place of Egypt is, where your life experience was, where it is right now. Who are you living with that is bringing oppression? What is happening in your life that has caused you oppression, where you can't, you might want to make choices, but you can't. You want to be free, but you can't. You're like shackled. Something's binding you up. Whatever it is, the first thing you're going to have to do, and this is just the basic, is believe that God can deliver you. That's where it starts. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's your mandate for this week. You can read chapter 1 too while you're at it. But your mandate this week is to speak it out as much as you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can, God. Yes, you can deliver me. My Egypt looks like this. Your promise, the promised land you've shown me, that is, I'm supposed to be able to, and you know, your promised land might not be a millionaire house in Orange County. What am I saying? A billionaire mansion overlooking the ocean. I'm not talking about necessary materialism, although there's nothing wrong if that comes into the picture. I'm not talking about that though. I'm talking about your soul. I'm talking about the inward parts of you being free. Don't we want that? The God that delivered them out of Egypt, parted the seas, and then he put them on this little kind of crazy journey, and we'll talk about that at some different point. But the promised land was already in place. Your promised land is in place. It is there. It's not if, it is there. It is there. God wants you to live free. He wants it. And you know what? A lot of people don't get free because they don't even want to say that they're not free. I don't want to say I'm not free. You know, it's not church good to say that. What would they think of me? But your question to you, and I'm confronting it not to hurt you, and not, you know, I'm okay with someone being offended just so long as it's the Spirit of God of bringing the offense and not me. I don't want the harshness of my words to ever offend someone. I don't want a lack of love in my spirit to ever offend someone. But if Jesus offends you, how he will offend you is he will disrupt your truth. He will disrupt what you've called secure and safe. He'll look at you and he'll call you out of Egypt and he'll say, you know what? You've been calling that home. That's not home. I got more for you than that. Do you want to walk it out? And we're a society, even as a church, but as a society, we want the gimmicky three-step plans. Give me the gimmicks. Give me the, you know, And you know, he can do things quickly, transactions of the heart. Every class, I'm going to have you read. We're going to do your homework. Every class, I'm going to call you to make a transaction. I'm not going to make the transaction for you, though. I'm going to call you to make a transaction. God is a transactional God. They make choices, he responds. They make choices, he responds. He gives them the desire to respond right. He gives them a way out when the enemy wants to get them to do the wrong thing. I am so adamant about this that I believe that your whole freedom lies in correlation to the choices that you will make in pursuing your freedom. And you know what that begins to do? You know what the devil wants to call you? Do you know what he wants to call you? He wants to call you a victim. Don't let him rip you off. It's not true. You may be in the Egypt. You may have been in the Egypt. But God's called you out as a child of the living God. He's called you to live in his presence, to have access to his resources. Do you know where we live? This is so incredible. I'm so like I'm radically in love with Jesus, and I hope that I don't care what you hear. If you hear that, you've heard enough, because that's all that really matters. But listen to this. Do you know what the Word of God tells us? That we are seated in the heavenlies next to Christ Jesus. I'm like, oh yeah, there's another Bible verse, blah, blah, blah. No, 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 no. We are seated in the heavenlies next to Christ Jesus. What in the world does that mean? You know what? If we haven't experienced the tangible reality of that, it's because we're not living in the promised land yet. Does that make us bad? Does that make us like we're terrible? You know what? It's not about being bad. It's about being in bondage. It's about being in some form of oppression where something is still chaining us down. And being able to confront that, to seek help, to ask for a way out, why wouldn't we do that? We've worked with many, 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 many people over the year in bondage. I can't tell you how different it looks person to person. Some people's bondage, to tell you the truth, is wrapped up so good that you would never guess it was bondage. Okay? And some is so bad, it's so heartbreaking to hear what some people have been through. Sometimes I think my heart is just going to overflow with just grief listening to what some people have been through. It's so horrific. It's just unthinkable of what can be done, especially to children. I can't. Sometimes, honestly, if the Holy Spirit wasn't present there absorbing some of it, I couldn't handle it. Okay? Because it's horrible. But whatever it is, there are some people that will put a pretty color over it or a coat on it because they're so afraid to face it. They're so afraid to leave. They're so afraid of change. They're so afraid of having to leave their comfort zone that they stay. Remember the Israelites? I'm totally teaching off notes if you haven't figured that out. Okay. Do you remember the Israelites, once they got out there, they got really uncomfortable. And do you remember they wanted to go back? They wanted to go back. Are you kidding me? But you know what? You're going to want to do it too. You're going to want to do it. You're going to want to go back. You're going to say, I don't know if I'm ready for this change. I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I can. And you know, God is not like standing there like with a, you know, a 2x4 ready to hit you over the head if you don't do it. He's not that way, because if he was, he wouldn't, that would not be true to his character. He's a gentle God, and he's going to allow you to choose the next step you want to take. Without choice, you're not going to be free. Choice is the game changer. You get that? Choice is the game changer. Okay. Anyway, I want you to understand that. And I went off on a tangent that was not in my notes, but hopefully you've gained insight into that principle. And if you still struggle with it, modern day, just go look at what some of our enemy grounds look like across seas. We're baffled by what ISIS is doing and things of that nature. But that's just what evil does. That's just what evil does. It strips human rights, it forces, it imposes, and it actually likes to hurt and destroy human life. Why would people act that way? Because they're that influenced by the enemy. They're that influenced by him. There's different levels of being influenced. They're really influenced. Because that's what our enemy, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't want you to be free. He doesn't want you to have access to who God really is and who you really are in him. You will be an unstoppable weapon in God's kingdom if you are aligned. He doesn't want you to know. Just one person. Can look at those disciples. There were 12 of them. They tore the world upside down in Jesus' name. 12. Do we think that we can't do that for some reason in this culture? Like, are we just like not as spiritual as they were? I know we say sometimes they had special giftedness. You know, they probably had to have a really massive anointing, but why can't we? I mean, I'm all about like, let's get free and then let's go out there now. Come on. We need to live it out, but not until we get it. Okay, we need to get it. We need to get it for ourselves. Oppression of codependence. I think I talked quite a bit about this, Stacy. So I don't think we'll be We can't make choices. We are forced to do things that contradict our desires. We feel trapped with no way out. All the pictures of being in a, you know, if it was a physical wall in a physical city, there were soldiers at the gate. You couldn't get out. Did you ever feel trapped? Can't get out. Okay, that's a sign of bondage. We feel robbed of personal identity, growth, and the potential to be who God created us to be. Those Israelites got stripped from their identity. They got told that they were this, that, and the other thing, but really they were children of God. But they were told something else, right? Their identity was literally stripped in the slave fashion. And whatever our own reality has been, I can guarantee you that the enemy has used circumstances in your life to try to strip your identity. And I'm telling you, your identity is sealed and it's good. It's there. We just got to get in touch with it, get realigned, reestablished with it. And it'll be good. It'll be good. Some people are freaked out. They think their identity is like a scary thing. It's not. It's a God-created thing. It's a beautiful place. What does spiritual freedom look like? What does our promised land look like if we're trying to, and again, I'm not trying to feed you, you know, the next glitchy, you know, that's not even a word. I make up my own words sometimes, but you know, the next, you know, let's go get free. Okay. You know, and we get revved up and then we go home and we feel the same way. Okay. You know what I'm talking about, right? And there has to be a way that God can actually deliver us. And I don't think that they're anything but the basic truths that he's already revealed to us, but just in an environment and establishing a setting where we can break through any of those barriers of self-protection, any of those defense mechanisms that we've created, any of the coverings that we use to kind of hide, that if we're willing to let God get beyond those, he can get us out. Okay, those are our walls. That's how we're walled into our city of bondage, okay? Self-protection, self-defense. Those are some of the ways, okay? So spiritual freedom comes because we are owned, redeemed, and under the authority of Jesus Christ. When he owns you entirely and you understand that, you are free. We are no longer under the authority of sin, abuse, neglect, shame, or lies that have been spoken over us. What am I saying? I'm saying that you're not a victim. You're not. That Jesus still rises above that, that he's brought a formula of redemption. He is above it all. You can say, but it happened, and this is you don't understand. Do you mean that Jesus didn't rise above that, but he rose above everything else? He rose above it all. We can know the truth of God's freedom and still not be walking freely in it. That is what we're trying to come. We're going to try to bring ourselves through a process where we can exercise our free will to make choices, to be who God says without human limitations placed on us. I'm not saying that you shouldn't respect and honor the people in your life. God will call you to do that. But when those people have illegitimately had a position of mandating your will, something's going to have to change. There's going to have to be a call to action. If you're the one who illegitimately uses control to force your agenda on people, and sometimes that, you know, and that sometimes that can be the case too, God's going to first show you that and say, look, we're going to work together here to let the people in your life be free. Want the people in your life to teach you the language of freedom. And you know, like, do people that are controlling, I don't know anything about control, but do people who are controlling, do they just mean to be like big jerks, you really think? I would venture to say no. That control is a tool that they picked up somewhere in their line to make life work. Okay. And control, as bad as it might be, it's really a survival tool. And it really needs to be dropped, not by being told how bad, but by the person understand that they use control because they are in bondage themselves. And that's why we use control. We use control because we're not free. And so we're not free. We have the tools of, we pick up these faulty weapons and we're not free. And so guess what we start to do? We start to use that same weapon over other people too. And we want, in essence, we're telling them they're not free either. You could be on either side in your relationship like that. And a lot of times we have both sides, and we have both sides because it's like a whole mentality, it's a whole mindset of not being free. And God wants to disrupt that in your life. He wants to disrupt that whole system. And it won't be bad, it will be good. Believe me, you're talking to a majorly recovering control freak. It's a good thing. It's uncomfortable though at first. What does freedom look like? My heart is able to love, to give it away, to receive it. I can connect with the resources of God. I can connect with the foundational purpose of life. I don't live by shame, guilt, or fear. I'm not bound to thoughts and opinions of others as my reality. I'm breezing through these because we're running out of time. I walk by grace, where I find security that I'm okay no matter what, that making mistakes, that falling short, that sinning has been dealt with by the blood of Jesus. Oh, that's so awesome. Isn't that so exciting? Some of you guys are like, this girl's crazy. I begin to understand that God has designed me for purpose. And I get to fulfill it and walk in it because it's my purpose that he gave to me. And no one can steal it from me. I am held, kept, loved, empowered by the God I serve, not because of my own efforts, but because he works through me. That is what the promised land looks like. Who wants that? You don't have to. Okay, good. I was going to say, you don't have to say, you don't have to. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start breaking this thing down. Next week, we're going to look at a general overview of what we're calling codependency. Again, nobody here is a cookie cutter. This isn't going to place a mold on you and you have to fall under it or else. You have plenty of room to customize this as needed. I just want to give you that option, okay? Make sure you understand that. But what works really well is when we all come together, we read it, we do a short lesson. It won't be a long lesson like this. I'll bear you a short lesson. And then we actually will break up into groups and then we hear from each other. And I like to keep the class down to 30 minutes and then do some prayer, about 5 minutes of prayer usually, okay? And then we go off in our groups. That's what we'll do next week, starting next week, okay? If you have any questions at all, I can take like one or two. We started a few minutes late, so I'll take one or two, just in a general way. Do we have any on site here, just that you have a burning question that you'd like to ask to the whole front of the people? Otherwise, you can talk to one of us privately, too. I don't want to put you on the spot. Go ahead. Yes, you are. I have it recorded. So that's a good question. She's asking about Access Webinar and on-site. Everything is going to be housed on the blog, www.christiancodependence.org. You signed up for the workshop at that site. Just go to Intro to Codependence. That's this class. And I'm just going to keep the blog right there. Okay? I'm just going to keep it. I think I'm going to simplify it because we have two workshops going on simultaneously. So I think I'm just going to post the homework, the downloads, and the videos every week. And I think I'll post an audio too. I think. I can't promise you, but I think I will. Okay? Mm-hmm. The notes too. Mm-hmm. So that's for you, both of you, webinar in there. Okay, so if you want to go back and study, I do encourage those of you on site and those that can attend live, there is so much more benefit to being in the live environment. I don't really have words to express it. So if you can make the commitment, I just want to encourage you to do that, okay? Because it really does have an advantage. Anyone else on webinar? Anyone, any other questions? Okay, so chapter one next week, I'm going to just go ahead and close out in prayer. And actually, my prayers are kind of weird because you know why? I really want you to pray, okay? That's why. I like to pray for you, but I like you to pray with Jesus. So you're just going to close your eyes, and I want you to picture yourself in the city that you're in right now, what your own city looks like, what your own place looks like right now, what's not working, what's broken. Where are you right now where you know there's something that isn't in alignment? There's something that's keeping you in a place that you know God has more for you. And so my question to you is really your question to him. Do you think God can pull you out of that? Picture Jesus, whatever that looks like in your head. Just make a connection with him in your heart right now. And this is the most important thing. I can't do this for you. Ask him to. Jesus, will you take me out? Will you take me out? Will you take me out of that place? Will you walk me over into the promised land? And guys, listen, we know what happened to the Israelites. They had to go through a season of transition and it was hard. And you might have to go through a season of transition and it might be hard. But I want you to look at your Jesus right now, whatever that looks like in your own. If you can't make a connection with him, just ask. Say, God, help me make a connection with you. Jesus, I need connection with you. I need to know you. I need your help. Bring him in. And just let him take your hand and let him give him permission. That's your transaction right now. I can't make it for you. Give him permission to come in there and to get you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. You are our power source. We can do nothing apart from you. Our intellect can offer us nothing unless you've empowered it, unless you've equipped us, unless you've given us the heart to understand and perceive. And I just pray right now that you will break through any barriers, any patterns of behavior, anything that has kept people from freedom, and that you will lead us individually into the sweetness of your established will in our lives, what you created us, what you intended us to be, and how you've designed us to live. And we honor you. We believe you, God. We trust that you are who you say you are and that you'll do what you said you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Webinar, thank you. Thank you, guys. If you have questions, I'll be here for a few minutes. Okay, good.